Hi, everyone. I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and you are listening to the Down and Dirty Podcast, aka the Double D's of Dating. This is a podcast for navigating the ins and outs of modern midlife dating. Here, we will discuss the challenges that men and women face in today's dating world. Like many industries, this one is forever changing, and I believe this platform will help those who need or want it. Today, it is the best time to take control of your desired outcome. Whether it is a marriage, significant other, life partner, or just to gain the confidence in dating once again. Every other week, we will dive in and talk about different viewpoints that seem to be challenges in today's dating arena. So let's get into today's episode. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Down and Dirty Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Celeste Moore, and I just want to say a big thank you to everyone for continuing to tune in and to listen to these episodes. I truly hope that you're able to bring what you've learned here today back into your relationships and your life. And please don't forget to leave a review and 5 stars because it really, truly helps the show. Today, I'm so excited to introduce my guest today. So before we jump into the episode, I'd love to introduce them. We have Shayna Cornelius and Dana Stiles of Human Design Experts. They're best-selling authors and co-founders of De Luna. They're here on a mission to empower the collective towards self-love, personal freedom, and radical authenticity. While they specialize in the realm of self-purpose and conscious entrepreneurship, they also dive deep into topics such as spirituality, parenting, and the new paradigm on their successful podcast, the De Luna Human Design Podcast, which has generated over 1.5 million downloads worldwide and has featured notable guests, including Terry Cole, Deborah Silverman, and Sahara Rose. Shayna and Dana feel passionately called to help spread the complex and life-changing science of human design to a wider community in a grounded and approachable way. Through their personalized human design ritual kits, personalized parenting blueprints, live readings, reader trainings, video courses, and now their book, Your Human Design, Discover Your Unique Path and How to Navigate It with Purpose, they've created many different playful yet informative offerings to help support individuals who are ready to step into their highest potential by honoring their unique energy. Human design is gaining popularity as the collective evolves toward a new paradigm, and Dana and Shayna have worked with thousands of clients in this space, have been featured on podcasts including Highest Self, The Low Life, The Spiritual Shit, and share their expertise. They do reside in Southern California. So welcome, Shayna and Dana.
Thank you so much for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yes, I'm so excited to learn more about the human design. As I was saying right before we jumped on, it seems like the more I learn about it, the more I have questions. So I'm not sure if that's usually the case or if I just need to, you know, I feel like once you break down a certain point, then there's another point that needs to be broken down. So
yes, absolutely. Human design is a really, really complex science. And that's what we love about it. There's so much to explore. There's so much you can learn about yourself through it. But definitely our most passionate way of talking about it is in the simplified. Like, okay, how do we take away from this conversation right now a little bit of wisdom about how I can be more authentic, how I can really utilize my energy? So we're going to be happy to break it down for you in this combo.
Love that. So let's get right into it.
Yeah. So human design is the science of differentiation. It's this system that was downloaded by a man named Ra Aruhu in the late 80s. So he created and downloaded this system that's actually a synthesis of different ancient modalities and modern sciences. So the ancient modalities that are comprised within human design are Western astrology, the I Ching, the chakra system, and the tree of life. And those ancient systems that have been around for thousands and thousands of years and that have pointed us to understanding truths about life and about ourselves, all of those come together along with modern science in kind of this master system. And human design really goes off of your birth information. So in order to know more about your specific and unique design, you need to enter in your birthday and specific time information and then generate your chart. And basically, your human design chart is like this blueprint of your unique energy. because every single one of us is completely unique. We have a different life purpose, we have different gifts, and we have a different way that we're here to use our energy. So your human design is basically this map showing you exactly who your soul came here to be in the highest expression, but it's also the owner's manual to driving your car, your vehicle through this life. It tells you how you can navigate life with authenticity, how you can really make aligned decisions so that you align with this person that you came here to be. So what we love about it, it's very similar to astrology, right? Because astrology is a part of it. It's helping you understand yourself and how you might be different than others. But it's also helping you actually navigate life and ground that stuff into your physical human experience so that you can experience more ease, more abundance, and just that feeling of really thriving as your true self for who you really are instead of who society has told you you have to be. Mm.
It's really beautiful. That's
So we love human design because it's very practical and applicable, and you can actually experiment with the different teachings that it offers up to you based on your design and really notice how your life changes. It's honestly, after meeting with thousands and thousands of people, every single person that hears about their design, it's this moment of, how have I not been told this sooner? Like, this is everything that I've ever felt, but I just didn't have the words for, or nobody told me that this was different or consistent for me. And so having this languaging is so powerful because it liberates you to stop comparing yourself to your coworkers or your friends or your parents or your partner, and to really say, oh, this doesn't work for me because of my energy, and that works for you because of yours. So what does work for me? And let me lean into that. And you really start to see your life change, and you have less resistance in life. You have more ease. You start to feel healthier and more in love with your life and more purposeful. So it sounds too good to be true, but astrology, you know, gives you this beautiful lens, but human design gives you these tools to really then say, okay, let me put this into practice and really see for myself if this feels helpful and good and really makes change in my life.
Yeah, that's like you said, it gives you the tools. I mean, that's so powerful, right? Just to actually know your purpose and to be able to navigate that and, like you said, have the right language and kind of validate maybe what you've been feeling and not really understanding. So I know that I usually start off the podcast with a little bit like how you got here, but I feel like now is kind of where I'd like to say, how did you two come together as a team and kind of look into human design and bring it to the masses?
Yeah. So Dana and I met about 15 years ago in college. And, you know, we did all the things that we were supposed to do. We went to college, we got jobs, we, you know, we're working our 9-to-5s and doing what we should be doing. And at the end of the day, both feeling like, this isn't it. Like, what's wrong? Like, this cannot be the rest of my life. But not knowing what was missing, but just that feeling of like something's missing and I'm exhausted at the end of the day and I don't know what it is. And I'm feeling lost and like I can't keep up with all my coworkers. Like they're fine coming in every day. And I feel like this just isn't my life. Mm-hmm. And we were both having that shared experience and it led us to, you know, just diving into any modality we could find that would help us to have some sense of self-reflection and answers. So breath work and astrology and meditation and yoga and kundalini. And, you know, it really led us to learning about human design. And this modality, it really strikes you when you first hear about it, mm-hmm. and with such truth. And so we found out that we were both projectors, which is one of the 5 types. There's 5 different types, which we'll get into. And that's actually what you are too, Celeste. You're also a projector. And we're all 2-4 projectors, which is really exciting. So 2-4s is a little bit of a deeper layer in your chart, but it's your personality archetype. And so there's 12 different ones of those. So it's pretty unique to all 3 of us be 2-4 projectors. And, you know, when we found out that we're both projectors, we realized, oh, this is why this corporate life and these jobs are not fulfilling our need to guide and to be able to see into things. Projectors are only here to work 2 to 4 hours a day of hard output, and they don't have consistent energy like the other types do. So hearing that, we were like, holy shit, this is why we can't keep up with this environment. And so it led us to dive in deeper into human design. And we committed to, okay, for 1 month, we are going to live our design by using our strategy, which is kind of how you navigate day-to-day life, and our authority, which is your unique decision-making, consistent way of making decisions and accessing your form of intuition. So for any decision that comes up in this month, we're going to use our authority, and day-to-day, we're going to lean into our strategy, and we'll get into what those are in a bit. And after that month, everything in our life changed. We had so much more clarity. We had like clear vision of our purpose and what was in alignment for us, what wasn't. And then it was just about taking action on the clarity that we had. And we kind of haven't looked back. And here we are, you know, years later, and everything in our life has radically changed for the better. So yeah, that's kind of how we got into it. And of course, it led us to sharing human design and teaching human design in whatever way we possibly can, because ultimately, human design is the science of how we are all uniquely different. And so we all learn in uniquely different ways. So that's why we have a tangible way with our ritual kits. We have a quick and fast way with our videos. We have our full trainings for people who really want to immerse and know everything there is to know. We have our podcast for people who are wanting like a quick free resource to just start learning about themselves. So diversity is really the theme within human design, and honoring your own unique energy along the way is just so important. So that's kind of how we got into it. And yeah, human design is complex, and we'll probably be teaching this the rest of our lives because it's just as complex as we are as humans, right? It's human design. So it goes into every aspect of the human experience, and it's a fascinating, but also life-changing rabbit hole to dive into.
Amazing. Well, I love that you've got multiple tools, because I think one of my questions was like, what are the tools or practices that you help your clients achieve this, you know, or recognize what their human design is? And like you said, there's, you know, podcasts for quick learners. You've got the ritual kit. What's in the ritual kit? I'm just curious.
Yeah. So the ritual kit comes with items that are based on your chart. So basically, every box is different, and it comes with a booklet that dives into your unique energy, your strategy, your authority, your profile, you know, your gifts, and how you're here to really impact the world around you, and how you can start applying, you know, practicing your design every day. So there's that booklet, but then there's items that help you to ground in this, your energy and working with your design in a more tangible way. Mm-hmm. So all of the items are based on your chart, and it's a mix of, you know, different crystals and candles and rubs, kimonos, mala beads, different things really based on your chart. And they come with different rituals and meditations based on your unique energy. So it's kind of like a gift of self-love and self-awareness to yourself and to others. That. Yeah. It's our tangible babies is what we call them.
I love that, because I'm just thinking there's, of course, you're like, oh, who could I give this to? Who could I, you know, but you talk about parenting, and I wasn't really even going to go there, but I'm going to go there just for a quick minute. I have a 16-year-old, and she's really struggling with certain things in her life. And I'm just thinking how amazing, because she loves crystals and she loves energies. And I'm just thinking, how perfect would this be for her to be able to? I think it's the purpose. I think when you're that age, it's a struggle to know kind of like where you are and who you are. And I know it's a life goal of like finding out these things, but I think at such a paramount age to, you know, you're finding yourself, but to have a tool like this is just could be huge, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it goes back to this core human desire to be loved and understood for who we really truly are, right? And for us to know that, to love ourselves and to understand ourselves, but also for other people to love and understand who we really are, right? Outside of what our teachers want us to do and what everyone else is doing, like who I am as an individual. And, you know, those teenage years are really the years where we're trying to decipher who is this person that I am and how am I different than my friends? And, you know, I was into this thing last year, but that's because my friend was, and I was forcing myself to because I felt like I had to. So it's totally just those formative years where for the first time, we really start to want to be differentiated. We want to find that person that we are. And human design is such a powerful tool for that. And absolutely to see, honestly, teenagers are one of my favorite groups of people to use human design with, because to see the way they respond to hearing about their design is something that gives human design such validity and power for me. I have a friend who has a 15-year-old son, and he was really, really struggling with school, like barely making it through. And she was so worried about him, and they were in therapy, and it was a lot. And when I pulled his chart, I found out that he's one of the really rare five types in human design. He's a manifester. And it is such a thing to be a manifester. Less than 10% of the population are manifestors. And they have a totally different energy that operates in such a specific way. Like, I was shocked where I was like, of course your son is struggling in traditional school. Like, he's a manifester. And so I started teaching her, like, you know, these are the things that you can share with him. These are the things you can say. And even eventually, I end up speaking to him about it. And to see the way it gave him such validation and liberation and self-trust and the relationship that changed with his mom, and to see the way that he just received it so deeply and felt so seen by it, I was like, that is why I do this. Because as adults, we can really convince ourselves of a lot, but teenagers are like bullshit detectors. Like, they will sift through anything that is not real or not true. And in so many ways, they can show us, they can remind us that kind of that, you know, we all have different forms of wisdom at different ages. Mm-hmm. So, but to give your teenager a box that's like, you know, they can explore it on their own time. And even just these beautiful items being in their space is an act of love. Right? Because somebody has seen who they really are and is wanting to encourage that, but letting them come to it on their own. I think it's a special gift to be able to give.
That's so beautiful. Like, and I get how that just could, like, maybe just like you said, just gives purpose, or like, you know, they understand the way they are and, okay, this is the way I learn best. This is the way I receive the best. Right. And then, yeah, it definitely helps with parents, right?
Definitely.
No wonder this didn't work.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's amazing. That's so cool. Okay. And I know that you guys really put it out there that this is, you try to make it as easy as possible, right? An easy approach. So what do you feel that you do different to make this a little bit more easy for people to get or understand?
Yeah, definitely. So with human design, it is such a detailed science. Like, the layers get very detailed, and it's really looking at quantum physics and the codons in our DNA and the way that those codons relate to the actual astronomy of the things that are happening, not just astrology, but the measurements of the sky and neutrino stream and light matter and dark matter. Like, there is all of this modern science in human design. And while we are so fascinated in that, we also know that that is way above most of our heads, and it can feel discouraging. So for us, what we felt the most passionate about is understanding this realm of energy, right? Instead of the realm of data and numbers and facts and figures and things like that, we are more focused on the feeling that you get and helping people awaken to the fact that we are actually energetic beings. We have been taught that we're just in this physical body and that our brain is just like this, you know, brain that's inside this meat suit and that's about it. But really, we are complex energetic beings. There is a reason why when you walk into a room of people, you can feel when someone is kind of in a weird mood or in a bad place. Like, you can feel that person. And we all use the word like, that person had a weird vibe, or that space had a weird vibe. What you're saying when you say that person had a weird vibration. That space had a weird vibration. So what you're talking about is the energy. So in so many ways, we can agree that we are all of these energetic beings, but it's just our mind hasn't really allowed that thought process. So in our work, we really try to empower people to start feeling these things for yourself and to kind of forget about the facts and figures that can trip us up and to instead feel empowered to feel in your own body what's right for you. So a huge theme in human design is that we've been taught to really live from our mind and to really analyze what we think we should do, what's going to make sense on paper. But the truth is, your mind is not here to guide you in your life path of purpose. Your body is, because your body is the one that feels those energetics. Your body is the one that's connected to the person that you're here to be, right? Your body is connected to sort of that higher plane of knowing in a way that your mind is not, because your mind is focused on the people around you. Your mind is here to observe and quantify data and to remember things. So your mind is brilliant. It's just not here to lead your life. Your mind is not here to tell you who you should marry. Your mind is not here to tell you what business you should start. Your mind is not here to tell you whether you should have children or not. Your body is the one that really knows and can guide you. And we've been living from this place of mental anxiety because we've all been trying to control our lives with our mind. But human design is teaching you how to tap into your body, to feel that energy flow, and to really be able to navigate life in this way that feels way easier, way more peaceful, because your body just doesn't have that same mental anxiety that our mind does. So in our work, we really focus on that. That's the lens we approach everything through, is how are you empowered to feel this in your own body? How can we ground this in, get it out of the mind and get it into the feeling realm? Because that's going to be the place where you feel the most confident to start navigating your life as your true self. And that's another huge theme in human design, is that every single person is their own authority about what is right for them in their life. And that's actually very different from what we've been taught. We've been taught that there is some outer authority, a doctor, a professor, a politician who is going to tell you, your boss, right, what you should be doing and how you should do it. And instead, this is about dropping into our body and taking our power back and realizing nobody on planet Earth knows what's right for you more than you do, right? Let's say you want to be with this person and marry this person, and everyone in your family is like, oh, it doesn't make sense, right? Like, no, they have such a different life than you. And how are you going to navigate this? But you're the one in your body that can actually feel, this is my person, right? This is my career. This is the thing that I don't want to do. And so learning to take that agency back, that's the path of purpose and authenticity. It's walking the path that is true for us instead of the path that we feel is expected of us. Mm. And human design is really giving us the tools to understand how to actually do that.
Ah, that's so powerful. That's really, truly powerful. I just think if everybody was living in this space, relationships would be easy peasy. Like, not to say that we wouldn't have like ups and downs, but you would actually be with the person that you're supposed to be with. Or,
right.
I mean, I don't think there's just one person in life, but you know, there's that person you decide to be with because you're living truly in your authenticity. And that is so powerful.
Yeah. And it's powerful when you know yourself and know how to access your truth and know who you are, and you love who you are because you have that confidence in really practicing honoring yourself. It becomes so much easier to do that for other people and to really see, oh, they're just different than me. And there isn't so much judgment or comparison or controlling or contriving that happens, because you have so much acceptance for yourself, it's natural to then extend that to other people. So a lot of times what people do with human design, you know, is they learn about themselves and then immediately want to learn about their parents or their siblings or their partner or their coworkers. And it's really beautiful because you can see, oh, that's why this works for you and it doesn't work for me, or vice versa. So it's a really fun journey because it's so helpful and so useful. And I think that, you know, we have the messaging a lot in our collective, like, be yourself, just be yourself. And it's like, okay, cool. But who am I? How do I be myself? And having languaging that really tells you, okay, from the lens of human design, this is how your energy works. Try it. And see if that feels like more of yourself or less of yourself. And through that experimentation, it really becomes clear, oh, okay, this it's just like this feeling inside of it just feels right in my body. It feels like me. And, you know, I think it's helpful to talk about the different types because it just makes this so much more understandable, if that makes sense. So yeah. In human design, there's the broadest category is your type. There's 5 different energetic types and every human falls into one of those. So it's the broadest category. And then it goes, you know, more and more specific from there based on your unique chart. But starting with the 5 types, honestly, this alone can change your life. Just understanding how your energetic aura is operating and connecting with the world around you. So Dana, do you want to talk about like briefly these 5 types?
Yeah. And I do want to encourage everyone who's listening in to generate your human design chart right now so that you can see which one of the 5 types you are as we talk about them. So you can do that on a lot of different websites. You can go to ours if you like, which is daylunalife.com. Then enter in your birthday and specific time information and you'll generate your chart. You'll get this body graph that has all of these numbers and shapes. You'll be like, oh my gosh, what does any of this mean? But there'll also be these written categories, right? So you'll see your name. And then the first thing you'll see is type. And next to the type, you'll be one of the 5, which are manifestors, generators, manifesting generators, projectors, and reflectors. So you'll be one of those 5 types. And what your type is, as Shayna was saying, it describes the way your aura works, the way that your energetic body works, the mechanics of that. So it's like we like to think of the 5 different types as 5 different cars. One is diesel and one is gas and one is a hybrid and one is purely electric. And if you're trying to put diesel into a hybrid gas car, like that car is going to implode and right, you're going to have this massive burnout. So it's really powerful to know which energetic vehicle am I in? And then that gives you the strategy of how to drive that energetic vehicle, how to care for it, the type of gas to give it. So even though this is the broadest category, it's life-changing to know this about yourself. So we'll start with the first type I want to talk about, which is manifestors. As I mentioned briefly before, manifestors are one of the most rare of these 5 types. They're less than 10% of the population. Manifestors have this aura that is very impactful and powerful. Their energetic presence feels so impactful when they walk into a room and it acts as this magnifying glass. Anything they say or do is like automatically magnified and it really leaves an impact on people. So they have this kind of purpose energetically of initiating us, being a catalyst for change. Because of the way their aura works, they say one thing and it sets someone off on a whole new path of growth, right? So in addition to having this really impactful aura, they also have a closed aura. They're not designed to be influenced by what other people are saying or doing. They are designed to have independence, to do whatever the hell they want, and to truly be themselves in this life. So their closed aura is really protecting them from that outside influence. Now, it makes that manifestor very hard to read energetically, having this closed aura. They're so impactful, but people can't really feel what it is they're thinking or doing or wanting to start or create next. So in order to really navigate that energetic tension with the way their aura works, they can use their strategy, which is informing, using their voice to let people in on what's going on internally, since their energy doesn't do that. Telling people, hey, I'm thinking of doing this thing, or I'm over this thing. I'm wanting to start this thing next. This is how I'm feeling. Just opening up a window in that closed aura through communication creates so much more ease where people are not so shocked or trying to control this powerful person because they can't quite read them. So once a manifestor starts practicing this strategy, just letting people know what's going on inside, it actually liberates them to have even more freedom, to be their own independent person. So in work, you know, a manifestor, they need that independence and freedom. If they're doing what someone else is telling them to do, it's never going to be a fit for them. And the way that they kind of create that space to be their authentic self is through informing. And with manifestors, as far as their energy levels, they have like surges of a lot of energy where they want to work and initiate and create all these things. And then this cycle of rest where they're just completely out. They need to relax and chill. So they have these powerful surges of both, right? They can be super energetic or not. So the next type that I want to talk about are generators. Now, generators are more common in that they're over 35% of the population. And generators have this aura that is open and enveloping. So they feel so good to be around. They are cozy. They are nurturing. Their presence alone just connects you, makes you feel included and welcomed in. So it's like the opposite of a manifestor aura that's closing you out, but being really impactful. Generators are welcoming you in with their presence without even saying anything or doing anything at all. So they can really nourish other people. And when a generator is in love with their life, they spread that love to other people so much. They charge other people up with their aura without even trying. Now, this open aura really makes people feel like they can ask them to sacrifice themselves for others, right? It's like, I can ask. So a lot of generators struggle with people pleasing because they feel like they do want to help other people and they do want to connect others. And unlike a manifestor, they have consistent energy levels. A generator can literally generate more energy like a human battery as long as they are doing what they love. Now, if a generator is not doing what they love, they dwindle that powerful battery and they can also get really burnt out. And that can be hard for generators. It's like they feel like they need to sacrifice themselves for others because they're so connected to people, but they're not here to sacrifice themselves. They are here to do what they love, do things that truly light them up and use that consistent energy on the things that light them up. So in order to really find those things that truly light them up so they can be this powerhouse person that they are, all of this energy and spreading that energy to others, they use their strategy, which is called responding. Basically, what that means is letting their body's response, their body's energetic response to things, indicate to them what they're meant to use their energy on or not. So when a generator's body feels like drudging through the mud to go to their work, that means your work is not aligned for you. When your body is responding to your work with energy and enthusiasm, like, ooh, yeah, I just want to jump in and do that thing, that is an indication that that work is aligned for you. And when you're doing that work, then you get to generate more energy, feed that to other people. And so for generators, your work is really a powerful theme in your life. If you're not doing what you love, you're really not living your ultimate purpose. And you're really going to feel that powerful, sustaining energy that you have being dwindled. So the third type is kind of like a hybrid of these first two, manifesting generator. And they're a more common type as well, over 35% of the population. And manifesting generators really are the same as a generator. At the end of the day, they have this consistent energy to do things and to create things. And as long as they're doing what they love, they can be like the Energizer Bunny that goes on forever. But they also have this kind of manifesting quality where they're designed to be impactful and independent and do things differently and sort of break the mold. So for a manifesting generator, their strategy is also to respond, to allow their body's response to things, show them what actually lights them up, what's aligned for them, and what's not. So also informing can be helpful for them since they have this manifesting side. But for these last two types, generators and manifesting generators, it's all about this consistent energy you have, using it on things you actually love, and not sacrificing that just so that you can make a paycheck. But really finding the things that light you up and working on that, contributing your powerful life force energy to that. That's going to be the thing that transforms your life more than anything else. What you're doing, making sure that you're doing things that you truly love and using your body to guide you there. Now, the next type we get to is projectors. This is where it really changes. For projectors, your energy is not about what you do. It's not so much about having consistent energy. For projectors, it's about what you see. Because as a projector, you have this aura that is penetrating. It goes into the other person. Projectors are literally designed to see into the other. What makes this person tick? Who is this person really? And in the same way, they can see into systems, into ways that we do things. So their biggest contribution in this life is the things they see, not the things they can do with their energy. And that's because projectors have an inconsistent energy. Even more than manifestors, projectors really do not have this sustaining life force energy to do in the same way that the majority of the planet, about 75% of the planet, does. So projectors are more rare. They're less than 20%. But the way that they are designed to live their life is very different than the status quo. Projectors are here to only work about 2 to 4 hours a day of hard energy expenditure. And they're really here to trade their wisdom for money instead of their time and energy for money, the way a lot of other people are. And as a projector, you know, you're so good at seeing the other and being able to give that person guidance. So that is really what projectors are here to do. They're here to guide the energy use of others and focus less on using their own energy to do things and build things and create things, but more about guiding the energy use of others in the things that they're doing. So as a projector, you're this penetrating aura that goes into the other and sees them so deeply. In order to really give someone that advice, you need to practice your strategy of waiting for the invitation to do so. So it's basically waiting for energetic consent before you're trying to insert yourself into other people's lives or insert your energy into seeing someone deeply and then giving them advice. Because projectors are, your aura is designed to see people so that you can give them advice. But if you're trying to feed a closed mouth, it can be really repelling. So for a projector, learning to wait to be invited before you insert that advice into people's lives, and also learning that you are what we call a non-energy being. You don't have this consistent energy. You need to work efficiently and you need to create more space for yourself to dive into your fascinations, to focus on the mental plane, the things you see, the psychological plane. That's where projectors really find their success. So I'm curious to hear, we still have one more type, but I'm curious to hear, Celeste, from just hearing about being a projector, not having this consistent energy use, but being really good at seeing other people and wanting to give advice and guidance and support on that plane. Is that something that resonates with you, with you being a projector as well?
Definitely. I mean, but this is probably in the last maybe like 10 years, well, maybe more, like 15 years or so. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really kind of, when you say that, it makes complete sense. I do have these bursts of energy, but they're, or I'm really, really productive for like Sunday was 3 solid hours. And I was like, okay, mm-hmm. that's it for me. That's yes. all I'm getting. You're getting like, I can do a bunch of to-dos and a bunch of whatevers, but to actually have solid, focused, and I do really well in those yeah. circumstances. And yes, I'm really great, like you both, at seeing blueprints and floor plans and whatever the makeup for what would be healthy for that person or to make that person have an amazing life. But mm-hmm. yeah, it's you. And you also said something, the invitation, the people and the things that like where you really, really want to insert yourself, but if they're not open, it's just going to like just hit you mm-hmm. in the face.
Yep.
Really crazy. Wow.
Yes. Yeah. And that is such a challenge to navigate on one hand, but on the other, because it sometimes literally feels like biting your tongue, right? Like, for example, if it's like a close friend, like you can see so clearly what they're doing wrong in their relationship, like what they could change, what would be better for them, because you see them, you really see that person and you want to support them in becoming their best self, right? That's projector's whole like motivation in life is to guide other people to be their best self and also to be the most efficient, mm-hmm. to use your energy in a way that works instead of like, you know, spinning the wheel and just getting stuck. So for projectors to not give that advice to that close friend that you love and you can absolutely see what they should be doing can literally feel like biting your tongue, mm-hmm. but it's actually the greatest liberation for projectors because every time you give unsolicited advice, it puts you out of alignment. It puts you off track. It creates bitterness in you and in other people. It drains your energy. So learning to wait for the invitation, it not only optimizes your energy and saves you from leaking your energy in places where it's not needed or wanted or deserved, and it gives you, you know, it protects your energy that you do have because it's such a precious resource for us. We're wasting it in places where it's not recognized or wanted. We can really drain ourselves and get out of alignment. And also for so many projectors, you know, we are conditioned to think that we should be generators and manifesting generators, that we should be consistently working and having consistent energy. And like, we feel like something's wrong with us, that we don't wake up every single day with a consistent amount of like full battery energy, the way so many other people on the planet do. So learning that about yourself and being like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. This is my design. This is how I'm supposed to be. And that efficiency that you were talking about, Celeste, like, okay, I have 3 hours. I'm going to get more done in these 3 hours than other people would in the 8-hour workday. So in the end, it levels itself out, right? We just operate in such a different way. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to say really quickly before we keep talking about projectors, I wanted to talk about reflectors because we always leave them out since they're the very last ones. But reflectors are only 1% of the population.
Wow.
So they are like our human design unicorns, and they have an aura that is reflecting other people. It's taking in other people's energy and then mirroring that back or temporarily becoming the energy of the people and the environments around them. So they literally act as a mirror. When they're around you, they chameleon into your energy and you can see your own reflection in that person. And so reflectors have this very sacred and powerful role of being like our wise people who show us. They are this gauge for if we are healthy and authentic or not. And their body takes the temperature of the people and the community around them, if people are in their highest expression or not. So for reflectors, they're very, very sensitive. They're very empathetic and they're like this human chameleon. And it's so important for them to put themselves in environments and around people that are healthy and authentic, because that's the energy that they're going to be reflecting and becoming in each and every new day as this chameleon. And their strategy is connecting in with the lunar cycles. So giving themselves an entire moon cycle to navigate life, and each day becomes something new and reflect something new and find their own truth in that longer period of time before navigating life. So for them, they live in a very different way than the rest of the planet. They really need to slow down. They really need to allow themselves to shapeshift and become something new every single day. And they're extremely sensitive and their body really keeps the score of those things that they take in. So I just wanted to highlight that because we always leave them out, our poor reflectors, but obviously they are amazing, our one percenters. And giving love to our reflectors is so important because they play such a special role in us all seeing our collective health and well-being and authenticity.
Yeah. And, you know, reflectors, they're all so different because they're a reflection of the people and environments around them. So reflectors can be CEOs who are gauging all of the different departments in a company and really seeing if things are running healthy or not. They can also be, you know, mystics and healers that sit across from someone and can sense like what's working, what's not. They can be and work in any situation because they're reflecting that. So really looking at, am I feeling unhealthy? Am I feeling toxic or blocked or sluggish? What environments and what people am I around? And can I go somewhere new to shift that energy and see if that feels different, if I feel healthier, if I feel better? Because that's always going to be how they navigate life, is really letting themselves shift and change each day, giving themselves that month before making that a big decision. So, you know, going back to projectors really fast about waiting for the invitation, I just wanted to say in work, a lot of times projectors become business owners or create their own projects or their own offerings because you don't need an invitation to create a podcast or to create a business or an offering. And then people can come and they can recognize you. They can see your gifts or your offerings or what you're creating. And then they can invite you by purchasing your product or signing up for your course or listening to your podcast. And so that feels like a natural, healthy way for projectors to kind of stay in their lane, still guide, still give that advice, but it allows others to come to you to really recognize you, which is a big part of an invitation, and then invite you in and take that guidance. Because if you're trying to give advice to someone and they don't recognize you, it's like, why are you telling me this? And then it feels off. Even if your friend is saying like, what do you think I should do? And you feel like there's not a place for it to land, then it's really not a real invitation. So projector's main job with this strategy is really sensing the energy around them. Like, is there a place for this to land? Is there healthy recognition here? If not, can I build or create my own things? That could even just be an Instagram account or, you know, something as small as like a meal plan for yourself, and really see how I'm good at this and what fascinates me within this, and create that own thing. And other people can then see you creating that awesome meal plan and say, oh my gosh, can you help me with mine? Like, I've been struggling and I never can do it or whatever. Like, please come help me make a meal plan. And before you know it, you have like 5 clients that you're now their meal plan coach. And that's just how it works with projectors. It's when you focus on what fascinates you and you put that focus there, other people can see it and then recognize you and invite you to come help them. And that's how you reach success. It's in your insight, your wisdom versus the things that you're doing every day. So how does that feel hearing all
this? I have to say one thing that just really like it hit me in the head. Like I started as an image consultant working with men and women, but predominantly women just are naturally drawn to me. And I think that's great. And I started working with a lot of women in this industry. And believe it or not, I had such a reaction to women that would hire me because the invitation wasn't truly there. It was a competition. It was, well, I'm just going to continue to wear this. I'm just going to continue to do this. And I would get so frustrated. I would be just like, why did you hire me? Why are we spending this time? Like it was just for me a waste, a complete waste. And so when I started to work with men, it was, if an invitation was there, if someone hired me, it was truly an invitation. Like you said, it was truly like, okay, let's get some custom suiting done. Let's whatever it was about. And so I naturally was drawn to a man and like, and I work well with them anyway, but it's interesting because meantime, I'm like, it's just women. They're so difficult. When it was not the sex of the person at all. It was actually the invitation wasn't truly there.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you have so much openness in your chart. So when we talk about the different energy types, right? And a lot of times people can hear about reflectors being this chameleon. We all have places in our energy where we are empathetic and taking in others and reflecting them back, amplifying them. So that's that chameleon side of us. And then we all have places, if we're not reflectors, where we have consistent energy, where we are conditioning other people who might have that area open. So it can really show you, okay, here's how your energy works. Like this is how you work with your energy based on your type. And then this is where you are empathetically taking others in. And this is what is consistent about you. So for you, you have such an open chart where you are taking in environment. You are seeing people's perspectives. You are seeing what they need. You are feeling their emotions, often heightened, where if they're at like a level 2, you can feel it at a level 4 and feel like, why are you so upset? And really they're like just kind of upset. And so knowing that you feel people really deeply and the two consistent places for you, your one channel, your gift that creates this definition in your chart is all about matching people to what they are needing based on your instincts, where you can instinctually assess someone and feel, oh, you need this, you need this product or read this book or learn from this person or have these items. And this is why it's really going to help you. And you're able to talk to a wide range of people from a child to an 85-year-old man. You can really share the information in a way that they can receive it and understand it and ultimately motivate them to their higher potential. So that's like your main gift. And obviously we can see you doing that in the work that you do, but knowing that you're so empathetic and your instincts are guiding your day-to-day of being able to think on your feet, feeling your intuition or your instincts, whatever you want to call it, it's all about being present. It's all about assessing people and really feeling, okay, what do I feel this person needs versus like, what should this person need? Or what are they thinking that they need? You can really sense like, okay, who's my ideal audience? For example, what do I feel that they're needing and how do I feel they need to receive it? Like what colors, what fonts, what pictures? It leads you really well into design, into marketing, but ultimately it comes from a genuine place of assessing and trusting your instincts.
That is so cool.
I know. I love it. I love hearing what you do and just seeing it reflected in your chart. But environment is huge for you. So having your own space, being really choosy with the colors and the environment that you're in, it's so important that you have a space in your home that feels like yours. If you're not liking the environment, it's not a good one for you to be in because you are so sensitive to environment. So I'm sure that resonates with you, but it's a big part of how you nurture yourself and come back into balance is spending time in environments that feel like your zen den or just feel like really good. The aesthetics, the vibe, all of it feels really good to you.
Yeah, thank you for sharing. It's so, it resonates 100%. So yeah, wow. So when you have these types, you said there's not subtypes, but is it, is that what you said? I'm sorry, not subtypes.
Yeah.
There's, okay.
They're types. Yeah. When you have these types.
But then past that, the next layer would be your authority. So the, you can be one of the five types, but then you have, there's eight different authorities that those people can have. So that would be your decision making. And then the next layer would be your profile, your personality archetype. And then there's 12 that people could be. And then it keeps going, right? Like, okay, then out of the 36 channels and then the 64 gates and then the, so it gets a lot more specific as we go. But if we wanted to talk about the next layer, like the next deepest thing would be your authority, your decision making. So out of those eight, the most common one is emotional authority, which is what I have and what 50% of the population approximately has. So for those people, they access their truth through giving themselves time to make a big decision, making sure they're emotionally neutral because their emotional highs and lows color their truth, and really checking in with that emotional realm, like, will this thing make me happy? And that feeling, that's how they know. So from the, you know, this huge number of people needing to give themselves time to make big decisions. But the next authority is sacral authority. And these individuals are here to make big life decisions spontaneously. They can access their truth right in this moment if their body gives it to them. And so just knowing that right there, like, for example, I have emotional authority. My husband has sacral. And our whole relationship before I knew human design, he would make these giant decisions on a just, you know, a spur of a moment. And I'd be like, are you crazy? Like, what are you doing? Like, sleep on it. Give yourself some time, please, for the love of God. And I was derailing him from his truth. I was, you know, and it came from me loving him and wanting him to be good and knowing what worked for me and not having the awareness that he was different than me. So now I know, okay, when we have this big decision, trust your gut, because that's what's true for sacral authority people. And I'm going to sleep on it and give myself a few days, up to a week, to really find my truth. So just knowing that, like, that is a huge difference. And being able to hold space for yourself and for others in that realm is so powerful. And the next authority is splenic authority, which is what you have, Celeste. And this is all about, once again, you can access your truth in the present moment. But instead of it being this really obvious thing, it's this very subtle, intuitive, just knowing or whisper or voice. So for people who have splenic authority, when they're making big decisions, they're listening for that body just whisper of like, this feels right, or something just feels off and I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. And that's your guiding light, right? So knowing, for people with splenic authority, it's all about tuning out the voices of the world, getting really quiet, and listening to those really subtle things in their body and trusting themselves. When you get this feeling of like, I don't know why at all, doesn't make any sense, but this just kind of feels off, that's your truth. That is your splenic authority talking to you, versus everything in my body just feels like this is it. I feel it feels right. I just know. So for splenic authority individuals, it's so important to have that self-trust and to not second guess themselves and later on be like, wait, am I sure? Because that's not right for you, right? You don't have emotional authority. So there's other types too that are a lot more rare, but you can start to see that, you know, you could be a generator with emotional authority where you need time to make big important decisions, or you could be a generator with sacral authority where you're designed to be spontaneous. And even though those two people are both generators and they're here to use this consistent energy doing the things they love and to trust their body, right then and there, you can see how different they are in the way that they navigate life. And then the deeper layer of our profile, there being these 12 different profiles, this is where it gets a lot more specific, telling you how you learn, how you're designed to teach other people, the role you're here to play on the stage of life. So anyone who has a one in their profile, let's say someone was a 1-3 or a 5-1, you would see that on your chart. If you did have a one there in your profile, ones learn through investigating, through reading other people's knowledge that they have created a foundation of and taking that in. Whereas if you had a 2 in your profile, the way all of us do, us being 2-4s, the 2-4 learns through following the things that come naturally to them. And anyone that has a 2 in their profile, you just, there's certain things that you're just good at. And you might have gone to school for it and you might have not, but you're here to follow the things that are natural for you. And almost by just allowing yourself to follow those passions, you solidify the knowledge even more. So as a two line, if you're trying to study the way a one line would, you can sometimes be hanging yourself up and creating this like imposter syndrome when instead you're really here to just trust the things that come naturally to you. Now, if you had a three in your profile, if you were a 3-6 or, you know, other ones that had three, you're here to learn through trial and error, through making mistakes and discoveries along the way. So how that might look in our children, any kid who has a one line, they have a better chance to be like a good student, I put in quotes, because they like reading, they like investigating, but only if it's something that they're truly interested in. Any child that has a two, it's like help them see the things that come naturally to them and allow them to just shine in that realm. And don't worry so much about trying to have them learn other things that are not as natural for them, because that's not really where their genius is. Any child that has a three in their profile, let them get out and go play and get their hands messy and be a kinetic learner, an experiential project learner. Any kid with a three, if they're trying to study all the time and sit in their desk, it's just such a not a fit for the way that they're designed to learn. So there's all of these kind of like deeper layers that you can go. And it's beautiful because the more layers deep you get, the more you start to see how each person is completely unique. No two generators are the same. No two projectors are the same. So even though knowing your aura type in human design is transformational, it's just the beginning door that opens you up to living in true alignment. There's much deeper paths to go. And so I know that there's a lot here, but I did want to say that, you know, our book, Your Human Design, we really focused on making this book super simple, super approachable. You can look up your type and go into deeper levels of how you actually begin to live as your true type and what it actually looks like and feels like to live your strategy and to practice that on deeper layers. It gets into your authority, your decision making, so you can learn that there as well. It gets into the profile, so you can learn, how you teach, the way you're really meant to show up as far as your personality. And it gets even into your gates, which are going to tell you about the gifts that you have and the purpose that you specifically have because of these gates. So that's a great resource if you're feeling like, okay, I want to know all of the things and I want to go down this rabbit hole. Or maybe you're feeling like, okay, I know which type I am. Let me just start experimenting with that. And, you know, if I'm a manifester, I'm just going to start informing more. And I'm going to see what happens in that space. I'm going to know that that's something that creates more ease in my life. And I'm going to see for myself how that feels. If you're a generator, start listening to your body's energetic response to things. If your body has zero energy in response to this email, knowing that that's because that email is not something that's aligned for you to do, to respond to in this moment. Just starting to trust your body more and to do more of what you are actually lit up by and less of the things that feel like drudging through the mud for you. If you're a projector, starting to wait for that invitation more. And while you're waiting, to really focus on your own wisdom, your own insight, your own fascinations, and sharing that in your own realm, because that's going to be what creates more invitations. If you're a reflector, starting to really attune to the moon cycles, to slow down and to allow yourself to chameleon and to start observing what that looks like every day. From just starting to practice that, it is literally enough to change your life if that's the only thing about human design you ever learned. So whichever end of that spectrum you're on, if you're listening, if you're like, okay, I'm just going to experiment with the base layer, or like, I need the book and I need to dive in and I need to find all the things, whichever is beautiful. Yeah, just knowing for you, like, it's your experiment, right? In the end, human design is all about you being your own authority in living life authentically, right? That's the theme. And it's really beautiful because every person being so unique means that every person is going to have their own human design experiment and experience and journey with what they're wanting to discover at what time.
It's so cool. It's such a fascinating, like I said, the more I dove into it, I was like, oh, wait. No, wait. Okay.
Right.
Thank you guys so much for being here. I do ask my audience one question that I have to ask you both too. And then I'm going to just let you, I think at your website, you can probably do everything, but like purchase, I'll let you kind of go over that really fast. What was your favorite date and what was it?
Oh, favorite date, like a date relationship?
Yeah.
I love
next question.
Dana, is something come to mind? You want to go first?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so a date that I went on with my husband when we were first together, like I always had this thing with people I was dating where I'd be like, go show me something amazing. Like, go take me somewhere right now that just blows my mind. And it was like the tallest order ever. And anyone I dated was like, that's so much pressure. What's wrong with you? And when I met my husband, I did that to him after only dating him for like a couple weeks. I was like, I want to go on a date and I want it to be the most amazing thing ever. And he was like, okay, get in the car. And we went to this waterfall that had like this stream with all of these birds and wildflowers. And we sat on top of this waterfall and put our feet down where like the water was going down into the canyon below and like watched the sunset. And he just like easily knew where that was. And I was just like, this is my dream life. And I think we're going to get married. And then we did. So that was my dream date because I think I'm someone who's really driven by adventure and experiences and also like the natural beauty of the world. And so getting to share all of that with a romantic partner, it just made me feel so alive. And to be able to share it with someone was just so special for me.
I love that. Thank you for sharing. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Can I go next time?
Gosh, my favorite date with my husband was our first date, actually. We went to watch the Perseid meteor shower, and we drove up in Ojai in California and like drove through the canyon and found this little lookout and laid a blanket down and like watched the meteor shower. And the whole time we were just like, there weren't any meteors at all. And we're like, what's going on? So we just talked and talked about life and, you know, all the things that you do on a first date. And we're like, okay, well, maybe we should just call it. And right before we got up, we saw the biggest shooting star like I've ever seen. It was huge. And it was almost kind of scary how big it was. Like, is that going to like hit the earth
and create the next extinction?
Like, it was massive. And yeah, and then we spent the whole weekend together and it was amazing. But I've never thought about that question before. And so now I'm like, I don't know. Like, I can't think of every single date, but that's the first one that comes to mind.
That's magical. They're both like super magical dates. I think I asked that because I really like the audience to kind of get, maybe not just get ideas, but kind of like see what it is and where we come from and what does it mean. And a lot of it's like this connection and, you know, at some level. And so I just love to hear about everybody's experience and what they love. So thank you for sharing.
I love that you ask that question because I think as a projector, and you're a 2-4 as well, which we barely even scratch the surface of that, but you're really wanting people to feel connected and really seen in this kind of like deeper way, like the layer beneath the things we're teaching or the things we're saying, but really to feel each other's hearts. And I am so resonant with that. Like, one of my favorite questions to ask people is like, what was their first kiss like? And I've embarrassed so many people by asking them that, but I'm like here for the fact that that's your question. It's so sweet. And it does open people up to like a deeper layer.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'd love to hear all those stories. Well, okay. Lastly, I know we've talked about a lot of stuff and there's probably, like I said, so many people that want to learn more about all the things and information and tools and resources you have. So where can people find out more about that?
Yeah. So you can go to our website, daylunalife.com, and that's dayluna, like a day moon. And that's where you can generate your chart for free. And it's going to have the most in-depth information on that chart. And then you can also find our book, Your Human Design, which is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, our website, like literally anywhere you can buy a book, you can find it. And then we have all of our other offerings are there on our website, daylunalife.com. We also have our podcast, which is the Day Luna Human Design Podcast, and our Instagram, which is at dayluna. So try to keep it all simple, but there's so many ways. If you're feeling called to dive in, really trust yourself with what feels right first and go have fun exploring.
So amazing. Thank you again, Dana and Shayna, for coming on today's show. This was so amazing. And I know everybody here has definitely learned something. And so I appreciate that. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes. Okay. Take care. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. Come and hang out with me on Instagram at Celeste Moore Image. Let me know your thoughts on today's episode because I always love hearing from you all. You can find all the links and resources in the show notes of the episode on my website, celestemoore.com. Okay, that's all for now. I'll see you in the next episode. See you next time, friends.